All right, y'all. So it has been a while. Y'all miss us? We got some stuff to talk about in terms of a conversation we had about parenting, and maybe I got some daddy issues.
I just want y'all to know that was not the intro. I don't know what that was. We talked about what we was finna say, and that's what she lived with. Anyway, you now rock with the best. I appreciate y'all. We missed y'all, but that intro was trash. Let's go.
Haters, haters, haters.
Wax sauce.
What it do, y'all? It's your girl, Symphony, also known as the Melanated Mama.
Oh, you're not spilling it this time?
Can you just say who you
I
are?
appreciate you not biting my style. Anyway, y'all, what's going on? It's your boy, Josh, aka Melanated Daddy. That's spelled DADDY. Not to be confused with DADDIE or DADDE, which we have seen since our last podcast. Just putting
Anyway,
it out
y'all,
there.
welcome to another episode of Life with Zawadi. We are so happy to be back. Hopefully you had a chance to check out our last episode. We actually added a vlog to that on our YouTube channel. So please show some love. Follow us on YouTube. Please rate and subscribe to our lives, vlogs and our podcast. Like, let us know what y'all think. Cool. Cool. I'm gonna try real hard not to move a lot during this session. I didn't realize that I had on a swishy jacket.
Old sound
Track
machine
jacket.
jacket wear.
And I'm literally sitting in the house. It's cold and I ain't got no clothes on for real.
You got that DJ scratch jacket.
Anyway, y'all. We have been so tired and really been so
Busy.
busy, like
Busy.
just trying to build this brand and still love on each other and be parents and work real jobs. Like, we were exhausted last
I'm
week.
ready to quit. Just putting that out there.
So anyway, a couple weeks ago, we were having some conversations about parenting, and I randomly asked my husband. I was like, "Yo, I really miss my dad, and I just wish that we had a better relationship." And he proceeded to then check the hell out of me.
Y'all, please don't. I don't check people. That's not what I do. I only give the words that my father above puts in me to say.
So, if you don't know, I have a very complicated relationship with my father.
At best.
At best, I think that it's interesting because I've known my father my entire life, and for a large portion of my life, he was very involved and present ish physically present, emotionally not so much. But as I became an adult, I could no longer take his energy. Like, he all my life was very hard on me and very what is the word that I always say when I talk about my dad? I usually just say that, like, he was never pleased with anything that I did in terms of achievement. So if I got a 3.9, it was, "Oh, but you could have got a 4 point. If I graduated class president, oh, but you could have did this." It was like, dang, I'm bringing you every piece of high achievement and nothing is ever good enough. And so as I got older, it started to feel like I was invisible. And I really just wanted to make my dad proud. And so as I became an adult and a parent and a mom, whatever, I decided to pull away from that energy because it was overwhelming.
To say the least.
And so, I try to reach out, occasionally, because I want my kids to know my dad. But it's never reciprocated.
That's because it's not your job. It's never a child's job to be the adult. That's the parent's job.
And so we, yes. And I think you need to talk a little louder. You ain't got to whisper, bro.
I'm tired, and this is the voice I got for y'all
You got to talk a
today.
little louder, or we're not going to be able to use it.
All right, y'all. Dang. My sexy voice is working for me. You tripping, bro.
Anyway, that conversation and that kind of memory, we started to talk about like the role of a parent. Mm-hmm. Biblically, like literally, like what is the role of a parent? Which answer that?
So I come from the school of thought where it's first natural, then spiritual, meaning everything done in the natural has a spiritual implication or a spiritual side to that same action. So as a father, protection in the natural sense of protecting my children from harm and danger also leads to a protection in the spirit realm of me preparing them for what spiritual warfare may look like, letting them know what source to tap into spiritually, so forth and so on. A lot of us as parents, and I can only speak for fathers or men because I am one. I can't speak for the women in the space. That's what my wife does. As a man, a lot of us have a lot of contradictory ideas of what parenting is because a lot of us were parented under the slave ideology instead of parented with love and parented with room for grace, room for growth, room for mistakes. Because as a black man in America, you can't make mistakes. And a lot of us carry that around when in reality, if we're going to change the mind frame, we have to change what we teach. So our household is, yes, we lead and we do correct and we do all, especially me, I'm a disciplinary is what I do. But on the same token, I have to lead with love and I have to remember that black joy is revolutionary. So therefore, I lead with love. Even today, I dug in my kids' butt this morning for not being on track and not doing what they had to do. But before bedtime, I throw them all around the house and I play with them. Why? Because with the same hand I can give you discipline, I need to show you love. I need to let you live in that joy because realistically, we're seeing in the times that we're in, black people of all sexes are being killed off in alarming numbers. So I need to give you the joy because the world is going to bring the rest.
No, I totally get that. I think, though, I'm just a little girl at heart who just wants daddy to be like, yo, I'm proud of you. And so that door is always cracked.
But my fear is, and I got to be real, baby. My fear is that that same door you leave cracked that hurts you, we're showing Marley to do the same thing.
Yeah.
And my fear in that is I don't mean no harm. I will never tell my baby girl her bio dad is trash. I never tell, and I got close a couple times, but I never told her and I never will diminish her vision of who her father is. But you can only be hurt so many times before you start to believe that hurt is normal.
No, absolutely. I just think that much of why I parent the way I do is rooted in the fact that I don't want my kids to feel like
like I felt,
right? And, but I also don't want them to become people pleasers, right?
Right.
And so I acknowledge their achievements. I push them in areas that they want to be pushed in and support them too. I just wish that my father at least acknowledge, maybe he does, you know, have a level of pride for me being his daughter, but say it.
Realistically speaking, you have to, and this is something I take to the grave, you have to love people where they are.
That's and something I'm working on.
You have to love people for who they are. He may not be who you need him to be, but you got to be able to love. I tell everybody, I love my mama to the core of me, but I love her from a distance. And that's a true statement. I love my mama. That's my mama. But I love you because I love you from a distance because I know what you're capable of. I've seen it.
Yeah, and I am. That is definitely a journey. Mm-hmm. Because there's so much that ebbs and flows in how you do that, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important to remember that your parents are people. Mm-hmm. And that oftentimes, you know, we believe our parents to be perfect, and they're not. And that's hard.
It's not hard, especially not as an adult. As a child, yes. So as a child, I saw my mama as Superwoman.
But even as an adult, it's hard. Like me fully understanding, and as a parent, I make sure to let my kids know that I make mistakes because mm-hmm. I model making mistakes in front of them.
But you just broke the mold right there.
I did break the mold.
Because
but there's a level of like cognitive dissonance that happens where it's like, I understand this, but it's like, come on, daddy. Like, I need you to be perfect. You know what I'm saying? You fit this mold that I have for you in my head.
But even my children, Marley will tell you all day, oh, Baba's this and Baba's Superman. But Marley also sees my shortcomings. When my grandmother died, Marley was right there holding me. Right. So she understands that perfection is in the eye of the beholder. So who am I perfect to is my children, because I show them my flaws as well as my strengths. So they don't get this ideology of me as being perfect. No, I'm human. Well,
that's what I said. We model making mistakes.
But this is what I'm saying. You can't say in the same breath, we model imperfection to our children. And then one a perfect version of your father that hasn't been here in 30 years.
And that's why I said that is the cognitive dissonance of like, that's why I struggle, because I fully understand that he is a flawed human. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he has experiences, traumas, you know, whatever. But there is a small piece of me that still says, this is my daddy. This is the person who created me, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to know me better than anybody else, right? And you don't.
Says whom?
Says me.
That.
When my mama was alive, I talked to that woman.
Stop right there. You cannot put him on a mantle that your mama carried perfectly. That's not fair to him. He has not been that. Your mama was that. So yes, mama's gone, and you would love for him to step into the mantle.
But even when she was alive, I wanted my daddy to be someone who was loving and caring.
And was he?
And nurturing.
And was he?
He was the furthest from those things.
So then what changes now at 30, baby?
Because he's getting, okay. So I understood. The cycle of life, right? You're born, you live, you die.
Right.
Like, that's just, you know, what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It did not hit me for real until I lost my mama.
Right.
Like, losing your mama is like your
changes
first,
everything.
It's your first home.
Right.
Like, I lived in you before I knew anything else, right? So when you lose that, it's like, holy shoot. Like, okay. She get real.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And so now I'm like, okay, I lost my mom, I lost my grandma, and now the only other person on this earth that knows me better than anybody else is my father.
It's sitting next to you. But anyway, but he's showing you at 30, whatever, because I'm not going to put you in that, your age out there on the internet, because you're kind of old. He is showing you with his actions of all 30 something years of your life that he's consistently him.
Absolutely.
And consistently absent. So you have to allow him to be who he is, but that doesn't mean you have to continue to be hurt by who he is.
I mean, yes. And that's when I have to check my ego.
That
right?
That expectation is damaging.
But yes. And I also know that setting expectations is like the recipe for getting your feelings hurt.
Unless you set expectations in a safe space, meaning you set the expectation with the person. So if I have an expectation for you to clean the house every day, which is not real, y'all, so don't jump into the inbox like, what? No, that's not what I'm saying. If I have an expectation and I haven't even brought the expectation to you, you're setting yourself up for not just hurt, but you're setting yourself
all
up
all of the things
for...
I have said to you. I get it.
So then what I'm saying is, baby, as the master of that you are and as the beast that you are, I struggle in moments when we have these topics, hearing you say, but Josh, why he's been who he's going to be.
Do you know how hurtful that is, though? Like, I'm about to cry just thinking about it, because this man is somebody who I...
You adore.
I adore this man.
Yes.
Like, I think this man is the dopest human. This man would literally...
You will call your pops and say, you need a book. I know the story, y'all, so I'm going to just jump in because she getting emotional. The bookshelf story or the table story.
It's just anything.
Daddy, I need anything,
he could build it.
So my wife went through this thing in high school where she was DJ Symphony on the ones and the twos, right?
right on my jacket.
Anyway, so DJ Symphony on the ones and twos, and her dad created a whole cart to transport a coffin, whatever. Created this whole thing for her to transport her stuff, would take her to where she got to go. Yeah, and she, in those moments, are what she held on to. Yes, he stepped up in a moment. Good job, Dad. The difference is the fathers who have to do it every day, all day, in every situation, versus the ones that do it once in a while, but then the rest of the resume looks like what?
But I'm saying, all of those moments were so meaningful. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, we have so many moments of, like, connecting on art and music, mm-hmm. and, you know, sports. Like, he was at every game, mm-hmm. faithfully, in the sea. Everybody knew Daddy Swan. Like, that was what it is. But our emotional connection was zero. Right. Negative zero.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And as I got older, I needed him more emotionally.
But your father, for the whole story of your life, has been one thing and one thing only. Consistent to who he is. You're putting an unfair expectation on somebody who cannot meet your expectation.
I don't know how to navigate outside of this expectation without getting my feelings.
And I get that. So that's an unpacking thing that we'll do off the air. I get it. But what I'm saying is and this leads to why we had this chat, is I'm making a space for my children to understand. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm making a space for my children to understand that your expectations are not fair unless you give them to me. I need to know what you're expecting. So we did an exercise where I went and asked all my children, what do you think Baba does good? What does Daddy do good? And what does Daddy do bad? What do you need from Daddy? And all three of my children have been
honest.
Consistent with the same answer all the time. What do you need from me? From Marley to King to Kalani, to beat me up. Bet. Meaning
no,
my,
it's to stop yelling.
No. I was talking about what you need from me. Oh. Like, yeah, they needed that. Well, my critique, right, was that I yell too much. But that was both our critiques. So I guess we yell a lot. It's okay. We're working on it. But what they needed was that physical affection. They needed me to play. They needed me to be able to bring that joy and that laughter out. And I'm a kid at heart, so I don't mind doing that, right? So they gave me the expectation so I could meet it. You've never had an opportunity.
Not in person.
Okay. Do you know how much stuff gets lost in translation when it's not face-to-face?
I am not ready for that face-to-face rejection. Because what the conversation will be is, girl.
But then at the same token, he's then telling you what it is.
Which is a hard
pill to swallow.
Pill
yes.
To swallow.
But it's one you have to swallow because you're going to keep creating these expectations in your mind. And then you're going to automatically let yourself down because the expectation you set is not one he can give you.
I think, though, and I'm trying not to.
I get it. It's a tough topic.
I think that the role of a parent is not just financial. I think the role of a parent is not just the physical, you mm-hmm. know, the just being present.
Mm-hmm.
There is so much that goes into the emotional and the spiritual side of being a parent. And while he was present my entire life, I can't tell you the man's favorite food, favorite color. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you a memory that he has that he always talks about. Like, we don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes me really sad. Like, if I'm going to just use my words and mm-hmm. communicate a feeling, it makes me really, really, really sad.
I should do the exercise you often do with me talking about sadness as a secondary emotion.
No, anger isn't a secondary emotion.
Let's peel that back a little. I'm not going to do you like that,
but,
though.
But that's anger. I'm telling you, like, that literally makes me sad because, you know, 30-something years on this earth, I feel like...
Right. Time wasted for what? I get it.
And now you have four, three grandchildren.
No, he got like seven
grandchildren.
Yeah.
And you don't have a connection.
Mm-hmm. But this is why my favorite quote about parenthood came from my brother JB. Shout out to JB, my brother. I miss you when this quarantine's done. And yeah, we're going to kick it. He said, the moment I looked at my mother and my father as if they were mental health patients was the day I freed myself. He freed himself of looking at them as anything more than just flawed humans. And that's what we have to get to the place. And it sounds sad that we have to do that, because I would love to be able to hold my mama on a mantle and say, this is my mama, and she gonna meet that standard. But I also understand from 33 years of living, I don't mind saying my age, that my mama is who my mama is. Now, has she made changes? Yes, my mama hands down is an amazing grandmother versus the mother she was for us.
I understand that, but I am in a constant battle with my reality and my expectation.
Right.
And it's like a cycle
because
of losing my mom.
It was amplified because your safe haven was taken away.
Yes.
And then you're expecting the only other person alive who can be that same safe haven to do it. But you have to look at his track record.
I feel like I'm in a prison of
expectation.
My own. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there are moments when I'm good with it. And then there are other moments where I'm frustrated about all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't expect the conversation to go this way because
we raw, girl. We live. We raw. Ain't no scripted conversation.
It's so weird because I was talking to my sister the other day. I had to leave from work, and then I was on my way back to work. And I'm parked next to a whole bunch of trees. And I'm talking to my sister about, you know, my dad. And she's like, why do you never call him? And, you know, I try to call him every once in a while. And I'm like, because every time I call, he don't answer the phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm tired of that. Like, I text, I don't get anything back.
Mm-hmm.
So I stopped. And as soon as I said that, I could feel like my blood starting to boil because I'm just like, I don't know what more I can do. Like, I am literally putting everything out every time. And I get my hand smacked, you know, because he doesn't reply. And a red cardinal flew past.
Mm-hmm.
A lonesome red cardinal flew past.
For those who don't know, the red cardinal is the signal for most people of a deceased loved one in the space, in the presence. So that normally the cardinal for her is her mother.
And it's so interesting because
these are pastor said on Facebook when you posted it?
Yeah. Yeah. But it's interesting because every time I see a cardinal, it does one of two things. One, it chirps in a way that's so loud that it forces me to kind of look for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's other times when it flies and it's like right in my face, like, like, look at me. And that wasn't nothing but my mama, like, girl, chill.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like she was just saying, relax.
Mm-hmm.
Because anytime I would get worked up about my dad when she was alive, she would say, relax. Chill. Mm-hmm. You all right, son. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
And that's the message I got from that. But
so we're going to transition to tips, right? And here's why. Number one, my wife is spilling her guts, and I don't want her crying all over this podcast, y'all. Okay, so I am what we call a more reserved when it comes to feelings towards parents. I'm adopted, so because I'm physically adopted, my mother, who is who she is, and I love her to life for it. I don't have this kind of response because she came from these people. I'm still searching.
So much of who I am.
I'm still searching.
It's him.
Right. And I'm still searching for that connection. So this talk doesn't bother me, even though I have traumatic stories and traumatic instances of stuff that's gone on. It doesn't matter, right? So for me, tips, and I'm going to speak from the father lens. I let my wife handle mamas. That's just how this works. Fathers, show your children emotion. Okay. A lot of us as black men want to, I gotta teach my black son how to be. No, look here. He's a black man because he's black.
He's a human.
He's a human. You need to give him the joy that this world will not give him. So give him the joy. Give him the spiritual joy so that he can know how to find joy when he's an adult, when there isn't any in the space, so that he can maneuver this world and give his children joy. And daughters too. As you see, my wife is crying because a father dropped the ball on giving his children joy, right? So give your children the emotions they need from you to learn how to better maneuver their own emotions. Emotional intelligence is normally taught from watching other people deal with their emotions. We can talk about it all day, but if we talk about the emotions, but then I watch you not handling yours correctly, I'm gonna just follow your suit.
Well, parenting is so much about modeling.
It is.
So you, did you say lead with, no, you said.
I said show them the emotion they need.
I think my tip for the role of a parent, and this is really yours, but lead with love. But I think.
She always got to steal my stuff here.
Love, so much for me in regards to love is action. And so, yes.
I'm going to take it a step further. The Bible tells us love will conquer a multitude of sins. When I make mistakes as a father, and once again, your phone goes off in the podcast. Once again. This happened every time we record, y'all. She'll never kill the stuff. She just be on it.
How.
Anyway, when you lead with love, you also then lead with grace. And when your children can see both love and grace simultaneously, it makes them a more well-balanced human being in person. So I lead with love was my thing. I'll give you a story. I was finna chew my child out the other week. Was that last week? I was finna go bananas. You hear me? I was ready. Blood boiling, ready to give her the business, the TKO. And as soon as I started talking to my wife, the spirit said, you need to lead with love. Don't go in there and chew her out. You're gonna make this situation worse.
Honey attracts more than vinegar.
I don't like honey anyway, but love, I like that. So,
and we said it already, but letting go of this ideal that, you know, you have to be this perfect parent, that doesn't exist.
In Clubhouse, I'm in a group called Imperfect Parenting. I have perfected imperfect parenting.
Absolutely.
Because I am flawed.
We
so because
to our kids
every often. Day I am flawed. And because I'm flawed, I'm going to make mistakes. But the difference is I'm going to atone for my mistakes so that you can learn that it's okay to mess up.
And then I think checking your ego.
Yeah.
You know, oftentimes parents, you know, operate in this, you know, I know it all.
I'm the boss.
Nah.
That legit, true story, that was legit my angle when we got together.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was parenting Marley. My oldest bonus baby. And Marley flat out looked at me and said, this ain't finna work, so what we finna do? I was like, oh. So I can't come at you like drill sergeant. Okay, gotcha. I gotta do this differently. And I had to.
Not going.
And I tell everybody, Marley is my biggest butt hurt, but my biggest blessing. Because she changed single-handedly my viewpoint on parenting as a father to girls. Cause Marley at this point right now is like my biggest, every morning I get kissed on, every night after work, I get kissed on. She got it to the point where now all the other kids watch her kiss me. So now they got to come and kiss me too, because Marley doing it right. So when you do this thing right, it is probably the most rewarding thing you can ever do. But doing it right doesn't mean you did it perfectly. Let's be clear. Doing it right means it's intentional. It's heartfelt. And your presence is necessary. It's there. Like my wife said, her dad lived in the house, but he wasn't there. That's a problem. All right. So, Mama, we got 2 minutes left. First and foremost, happy Black Maternal Health Week.
Yes.
To every queen in the space. For y'all.
Birthing person.
In this, well, I say queen because you ain't got to have birth. You ain't got to be a birthing person to be. To be a maternal advocate. I ain't got no uterus and I'm an advocate. What's up?
So listen, y'all, if you have not already, please make sure, I was quiet because I'm just reflecting, but please make sure you are following us on our individual pages. You can go to Instagram and follow me at Melanated Mama.
For the second time tonight, y'all, sexy voice came back. Melanated Daddy, that's D-A. D-D-Y. For y'all watching on YouTube, it's on my hoodie.
You can also follow our podcasting page at Life with Zawadi. That's Z-A-W-A-D-I. And listen, y'all, I have a few things I need y'all to do. Please, if you follow us on Apple Podcasts, leave a rating for us. Let the folks know that you enjoy what we're talking about. Share this content, please. The more people who we can reach, just helps us grow our brand. If you like what you hear every week, we are back. So no more breaks for a while.
I'm going to step on her toes. The more people I reach, the more fathers I can change. Excuse my French. Forget the brand. I got lives to fix. So if you can share this with another father who needs to hear this, do that for me. That's all I worry about.
As always, y'all. And until next time, you gonna do it with me this time?
Maybe nope.
Smile. You can do it to make me smile.
You I'm did. Sad. You did cry. Okay.
Okay. You ready?
Yep.
Bam.
Nope. You're she thought.
Such an.
She thought, y'all.